Our guest today believes we are living in times that are complex, complicated, and breathtaking. How can Christians make a difference in perilous times, and how can we push back against the darkness?
The Trump administration is currently conducting across the entire government a review of our Iran policy. Iran is the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism and is responsible for intensifying multiple conflicts and undermining U.S. interest in countries such as Syria, Yemen, Iraq, and Lebanon, and continuing to support attacks against Israel. An unchecked Iran has the potential to travel the same path as North Korea and take the world along with it. A comprehensive Iran policy requires that we address all of the threats posed by Iran, and it is clear there are many.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Eric Barger joins Jan this hour to meet with White House News correspondent Bill Koenig. Bill's here to discuss the issues facing our world and our new president. Getting the correct information is critical to properly discerning the times in which we live. Bill Koenig has been our reliable resource to help us understand our world from a biblical point of view. Bill, Jan, and Eric will discuss information today you'll hear only on Understanding the Times Radio. So let's get started. Here's Jan Markell.
And welcome to the program. I'm so glad you could join me today. And a lot to cover this hour with my special guest, Bill Koenig, who has been in the White House press corps for about 16 years, frequent guest on this program, also to my conference activity. And we have foreign affairs exploding literally around the world. We'll talk about some of those. We have some issues right here at home with the new administration. Want to talk about those as well. Bill Koenig writes this: the times we are living in are breathtaking. There are new significant news stories every week. Moreover, they are multidimensional, complex, and complicated with far-reaching implications. He says, as I documented in a recent news report, we are living in times of much chaos and disorder. However, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are blessed to have a much greater understanding of the times and the eternal hope that helps us cope with these times. We'll give contact information a little bit later. Eric Barger joins me in studio as my co-host. And Bill, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jan. Always great to be with you all.
Bill, how has the press corps changed for you? I mean, we talked the other day, and you're still dealing with a multitude of very liberal reporters there in Washington. But has anything changed?
Oh, this is much more combative. It's much more confrontational. What's interesting is the major networks, TV networks, are in the front row, along with Reuters and Associated Press. And on the second row is Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Washington Post, the major U.S. newspapers. And those are usually the most confrontational rows. And Sean Spicer, from the beginning, has worked the room. I mean, one of the first people he called on was CBN, which was just great, as well as even in press conferences. President Trump called on CBN. And CBN's had greater access with the Trump White House than they had during 8 years of President George W. Bush. It's been tremendous from a Christian perspective. So interesting is you get some really good questions from the back rows and moving the questions around, and then you come back that front two rows and it's confrontational. And what was this said to this Russian, and what about this Russian, what about this comment, what about this administration principle, what about this nomination process? Oh, it's just, I think people are so fed up with it. But I happened to read an article today, matter of fact, that the Media Research Center said that 89% of the major topics since Trump has taken office, just right around 100 days, has been negative. There's been 1,501 negative statements and 186 positive statements. They are doing everything they can, Jan, to sabotage and do everything they can to disrupt this presidency and to make it as ineffective as possible. And unfortunately, not all of America gets their news from conservative sources. As a matter of fact, most news sources today in America, 85 to 90%, are to the left and are opposed to our conservative values.
You told me that they remain in total disbelief, that, first of all, Donald Trump is systematically undoing 8 years of Obama policy in just a few months, and that they continue to be stunned?
Oh, absolutely. I think that they're still absolutely shocked. I happened to watch this the other night, the final moments, you know, when they were finding out, you know, that there's a possibility around, I think it's around 9:30, 9:40 on election night, when Chris Wallace with Fox, I'll never forget this, said, you know, there's a chance that Trump might win this. And then Brett Hume chimed in, and Brett Baer, and then all of a sudden CNN picked up on this, and then MSNBC picked on this. So for the next few hours, the discussion was, you know, Trump might pull this off, and then that state, Florida, looks good, and then North Carolina looks good. Oh, my gosh, not Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin. So, and then it built up to about, I think it was 2:30, 2:40 when Hillary Clinton officially conceded. You know, they were shocked then, and they're shocked even to this day. And now that they're seeing all these things that were so popular with them that Obama had put in place being dismantled one by one, it's becoming even more problematic and difficult for him.
You know, Bill, I wonder if we'll ever be able to get back to having news gatherers be news gatherers. Do you think that's going to be a possibility? I mean, Huntley Brinkley, we may not have agreed with everything, but they reported that even Cronkite in those days. I guess I'm portraying my age here, but will the news ever be news again, or will it always be making the news by themselves?
I'm afraid you're right, Eric. I don't think it's ever going to change. One of the discussions was not televising the daily press briefings, which is fairly new. It started pretty much during George W. Bush's time, a little bit toward the end of Clinton's time. But, you know, it's been a daily press briefing, and, you know, the gotcha questions are, you know, headline news for the national newscasts or front page news articles in major newspapers like New York Times, Washington Post, Chicago Tribune, LA Times. You know, it's just the whole dynamics have changed, and the bias that we've seen has never been worse. You know, it's all a turf war. And I think with that in mind, the leftist, secular, humanist, God-haters, unfortunately, in many cases, they are so committed to their agenda that they cannot receive or even process truth. I think we've discussed this before on your program, that it just gets to the point is, how do you conclude that based on what you just heard this way? I mean, how do you think that? I mean, you just are not hearing truth for truth. And there's been some debate and discussion over is, you know, truth a thing of the past? You know, can I just say something and will my comments, speaking liberal, will the end justify the means? And the age of truth doesn't matter is, unfortunately, I think, is a period of time that we're living in. And I don't think it's going to improve, Eric. I just don't. And just because of confrontational nature and the fact that we have such a significant turf war going on right now.
Bill, you and I talked about some of the opposition that's going on right now to the new agenda, a bit of a more conservative agenda, and what a threat this is. George Soros to the Obamas, to Obama's crony, Valerie Jarrett, to the ACLU, to the Southern Poverty Law Center, and you even said to me privately that President Trump's life is in danger from, you name it, the globalists, the cartels in Mexico, the Russians, the Iranians, ISIS, and he may have a divine covering, but he has to have our prayers. And someone, if not, someone will try to take him out and possibly even succeed.
Yeah, that prayer is crucial, Jan, absolutely crucial. And I also do believe he has divine covering, as well as some of our other Christian leaders that are very outspoken about the threats of America, like Franklin Graham and others. I believe they have a divine covering, a supernatural covering. And I think that that's the same thing with President Trump. I mean, he is disrupting a lot of the old foundational things of the one world order, the globalists, the George Soros, as you mentioned, this list. So he sincerely, as well as he and Mike Pence and his administration need our continuous prayers for their safety and security. Mm-hmm. I think it's crucial that they continue to have that, as well as people that are leaders of our country in all different facets, whether it's on state or on the national level.
We're called to do that, too.
Absolutely. Timothy, you know. Absolutely. Called to that, Eric, but I think we're even in a much more serious time, so we need to be more serious about doing that.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line Bill Koenig. He served in the White House press corps for a number of years here. Started working with Bill back in 2002. And Eric Barger's in studio as a co-host today. Bill, I saw a headline here recently. Making America Great Again is only possible without liberals lurking in the administration. And there's a lot of talk right now about Jared Trump and Ivanka Trump. They're liberal New York Democrats, and they have huge influence over Donald Trump. At the same time, there is concern that the Steve Bannons and the like may be being pushed out. Mike Pence certainly can't be pushed out, but others could be. So is there some truth to this?
Well, I think that you have the domestic and the international. On the domestic, obviously, Jared Kushner and his wife, Ivanka, and Donald Trump's daughter, have a lot of influence, especially on some of the social issues. They're very smart, very talented, very capable, and I got to give them credit as well as the Trump's sons. They were very, very high in Mike Pence as the vice president. President Trump was considering Chris Christie and others, but they were really high in Pence, and I give them a lot of credit because that was probably President Trump's best selection. Best mm-hmm. decision was selecting Mike Pence as a devout Christian as his running mate. I give them a lot of credit for that, but I think what affects a lot of Christians is the LGBT and marriage agenda, and with Kushner's background from New York City, Manhattan, and a more of a liberal bent, despite the fact that they are considered Orthodox, or Kushner's Orthodox Jew, they've been very favorable in protecting some of the things that President Obama put in place at the State Department and within labor and other things like that. So they've been defensive and defending that, where other conservative evangelical members of President Trump's cabinet, as well as the vice president, have been more favorable in eliminating some of those decisions that President Obama made. So, you know, this is another area that we need to continue to pray, because this is another very divisive issue. Mm-hmm. It was divisive during the Senate hearings of President Trump's evangelical cabinet selections, and it will continue to be so. Other than that, I think they're very solid.
I want to build just a little bit on what you're saying, and to my audience, a heads up here that I want to play a soundbite I've played before. I played this short clip of Monica Crowley when I had Michelle Bachmann and Phil Haney in studio a couple months ago, because, Bill, you used the term to me the other day on the phone that there's an atmosphere almost like a civil war going on in Washington, and the pushback is just unbelievable, and I think Monica Crowley sums it up fairly well in this little short soundbite, and then I want your perspective on what you hear.
There is a very dangerous and very effective destabilization campaign underway against this president, his administration, and his agenda. And what I hope that the president and his senior aides understand is that these forces are not just looking to delegitimize him. We often talk about that. Sure, they want to do that. They want to personally destroy him, destroy his presidency, and they would like to see the man in prison. I hope that the president understands, I am not overstating this, having been a victim of this myself, they are out for blood. And the reason they have to destroy him is that Donald Trump is an alien organism that has been injected into the body politic by the American people to reform it. He must not be allowed to succeed. They have swarmed him. They have swarmed everybody around him in order to reject him out of the system, just like any alien organism. He must not be allowed to succeed. And I hope that everybody around him now understands that this is a war and that they started a long time ago, but they will not end until they get the president of the United States. And they want him in prison. And this is what we need to understand.
So true.
David Brock and some of these organizations have already raised tens of millions of dollars for an impeachment process. Then they want jail to the chief. They need to understand that this is a war. We are so far beyond normal politics, Sean. We are in a very dangerous moment.
Bill Koenig, is that an overstatement?
No, I thought it was very well communicated. No.
Not overstated.
No. And I'm around this day in, day out, Jan, so I am not desensitized, but I'm around this day in, day out, and I see it. But Monica Crowley did a very, very good job of explaining the depth of this agenda. I don't think we've heard it communicated anywhere near as well as her communication in that clip. And, I mean, that's just pretty much bottom line. When you have George Soros, within a few days of the election, have some of his major money people come into Washington, D.C. at the Meridian Hotel for 48 hours of regrouping and powwowing on what to do next, gives you a good example. Or the fact that the ACLU was able to raise $28, $29 million in November, December to confront and stand up against the Trump agenda, on and on and on. The 500,000 women supposedly that came out from across the country the day after the inauguration. you know, it's been a little quiet right now. We see some incidents, but underneath the surface, there's a lot going on.
To hear the media tell it, you would think that there's nobody in the White House with an IQ over 15. It's pretty incredible. And with the media's help, it appears to me that they have everything in place, especially with the money they have. But, you know, the big question is, Bill, will Trump be stopped as we look at it today? I think he knows what is going on. He's aware. He's got very, very thick skin. We see that. But what grounds do they have? I mean, he's outing everybody that has held America hostage over the last few years. If Jay Sekulow's lawsuit against the IRS comes through, they'll have the names, they'll have the people, they'll know who went after the conservative groups. I mean, you think about it, could Trump be stopped? That's the big question.
Well, I think part of what we've seen on Capitol Hill, Chuck Schumer and the people in the Senate have delaying every possible nomination they could during the cabinet hearings. There's a lot more people that need to be confirmed. I read just recently that no U.S. attorneys have been selected to replace Obama's U.S. attorneys, and typically they just kind of transition out, but there were some concerns about the leaks and other things that were taking place, so those U.S. attorneys were asked to put in their resignation letters. You know, it's a disruption. You know, Pelosi, Maxine Waters, other people that say these salacious things about Trump and his administration, you know, it just continues. And you get to a point where it's disruptive, it's sabotaging the agenda. And another thing is, this is a total discredit to the American voters. I mean, Trump was selected. He was selected, you know, overwhelmingly. The Republicans control the House. They control the Senate. The Democrats have lost 1,000 seats, and they're still in denial about that. During Obama's 8 years in office, I mean, Obama rode off in the sunset like he was victorious. Mm-hmm. His party's dismantled. They see their party, their influence diminishing. They are looking for a victory, and they've had a lot of defeats lately, and they still are in denial about that. But the big thing here, Eric and Jan, is the fact that they are disrupting this president that has to deal with a lot of very, very serious issues. But his cabinet strong, 10 evangelicals, very conservative. Even the Council on Foreign Relations said that the Trump defense team and security team is the best we may have ever had in place. And that is quite a compliment. And I agree with Mattis and McMaster and Pompeo and others. And the Pentagon is allowing to be the Pentagon again, and we should all feel more safe and secure because of that. So with all of that said, you have two things working against you. Number one, the Democrats, and number two, their enablers, which is 85% to 90% of the U.S. media.
Well, we have some other things to talk about because, Bill, you write a lot about key final day scenarios that are developing. Even as we speak here, they are developing. They've been developing for many decades, but they're kind of on overdrive, and we want to talk about some of those. We will do that in the next couple of segments. My goodness, we've got the Middle East realigning. We've got Russia sort of Putin's trying to be king of the world. Where is that going? And Bill, you said to me that the Tillerson pick for Secretary of State was an excellent move because he's got a 20-year relationship with Vladimir Putin. We can talk about the Iran deal and a lot more. U.S.-Israeli relations, of course, are at a new high level now. We'll get to some of those and much more in the segments we have left. Folks, don't go away. Coming right back.
Understanding the times in which we live keeps us prepared for the changes coming to our world. The Bible is clear that the last days will be full of deception, delusion, and corruption like the world has never known. Every week we deliver to you insights that discern our days and bring you hope. We are Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Many listeners to Understanding the Times love to get audio recordings of discussions like you're hearing today. The information you're getting here is so pertinent to understanding our world. If you'd like a copy of today's broadcast, order as many copies as you need at 763-559-4444. Coming up this fall, our Understanding the Times conference. Join us on October 7 at Grace Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. There's no cost for this annual event. More conference details can be found on our website, olivetreeviews.org. Many listeners find this weekly broadcast helpful in so many ways. You can help us maintain this kind of programming in your neighborhood. You can become our ministry partner with your monthly financial pledge. We want more people to hear what you enjoy every week. So we're expanding our coverage across the nation. Please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. We're praying you'll join us in helping to make programs like today's edition available where it's never been heard. Thank you for your consideration. In just a moment, more conversation with Jan, Eric, and Bill. It's not too early to make plans to attend Understanding the Times 2017, Saturday, October 7, just outside of Minneapolis. Join us at Grace Church in Eden Prairie from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. There's no cost or registration needed. You can spend the day with like-minded believers who don't think it's strange that you want to understand the times and also discern the times of Bible prophecy. Speakers include Amir Sarfati.
Our book, the Bible, contains 29% future events. 29% of this book is Bible prophecy. God wants us to know even the future.
Dr. Mark Hitchcock.
So I don't believe in we should scoff at signs. I don't believe we should be reckless speculators, but I do believe that signs of the times are important and that we live in a time today when the stage is being set.
Pastor J.D. Farag from Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe, Hawaii.
Jerusalem, as Joel Rosenberg calls it, is the epicenter. It is the second hand on God's prophetic clock. You want to know what time it is in terms of Bible prophecy? Look at Jerusalem.
Michelle Bachman.
Jesus Christ is coming back. We, in our lifetimes, potentially could see Jesus Christ returning to earth, the rapture of the church. This is one of the most exciting times in history. We need to be exactly watching the tenor of the times, be observing, and look up our redemption draw-off night.
Hotel information is posted at our website, olivetreeviews.org, or call us for complete details at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We have promised that we'll keep talking about today, but always with an eye on tomorrow and the hope of His return.
Iran continues to support the brutal Assad regime in Syria, prolonging a conflict that has killed approximately 500,000 Syrians and displaced millions more. Iran supports the Assad regime even as it commits atrocities against its own people, including with chemical weapons. Iran provides arms, financing, and training, and funnels foreign fighters into Syria. Iran maintains a long-standing hostility towards Israel. Just yesterday, the regime reportedly exhibited a missile marked "Death to Israel" during a military parade.
Jan Markell and Eric Barger are meeting this hour with veteran White House News correspondent Bill Koenig. Bill has the inside stories from inside the Beltway. He's willing to talk about them here on Understanding the Times. Once again, Jan Markell.
According to Google Trends, searches for World War III hit their highest level since records started in 2004 this month. Searches for war and nuclear war are also at their highest level since the start of the year as concerns grow over foreign policy. The United States has asked the Palestinian Authority to stop using funds to subsidize the families of terrorists. However, not only will they continue payments, but will now give a raise to families encouraging yet more terrorism against Israelis. The former Iranian president is looking to regain power in the May 2017 election. During his previous days in office, he vowed to return with the Islamic Messiah, which is said to arrive before Judgment Day. Some future watchers are already predicting the upgrading of humans will become the next billion-dollar industry as transhumanists seek the advancement of man through scientific advances. Some Christians believe it will become the next big scientific issue to face the church. The subject of why Bible prophecy matters is gaining traction among many people as current events are driving a renewed interest. Prophecy experts are encouraging church leaders to use current concerns to let people know that God has a very specific plan for this world.
And welcome back. And you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. You can get a CD of any program. You can become a CD subscriber, $15 a month. You have to call us on that because we use a credit card for that particular program. And the program is always posted to my website Saturday morning. If you can't catch the program on the radio, olivetreeviews.org, and just go to radio Saturday morning. The program, including 5 years of other programming of ours, is posted at olivetreeviews.org. We're spending the hour with White House correspondent Bill Koenig, and I've been working with Bill since 2002. And Bill, before we move to some foreign policy, because Eric brought up something during the break we need to cover, and I have it in my notes, and you write this. You say, in a morning tweet, Trump warned that the Freedom Caucus would hurt the entire Republican agenda if they don't get on the team and fast. And then you say he grouped its members, all of them, with Democrats in calling for their political defeat. And then you say it's not wise, President Trump. Conservatives got you elected. Conservatives don't compromise principles. Do you see this happening, that Donald Trump could overthrow or at least marginalize conservatives?
He backed off that right after he fired that out. That was kind of a heat of the battle moment over the, you know,
healthcare.
Healthcare thing. It was just typical. The media, they're just, Trump can't get this through. This is a big campaign promise. He's failing. His whole agenda is at risk. It was one major news organization after another just really coming against Trump. I mean, they were blasting them and just saying it's over, this is finished, he can't gain control of his party. And I think it was a knee-jerk reaction. He kind of backed off of that later, and they supposedly are making some inroads, the conservatives and the moderates in the party. And Jan, as you know, this has been a challenge within the party for quite a while during George Bush's time in office. Is the moderates, who have had more people in Congress than the conservatives, and there's a lot of conservatives now. The conservatives help elect the senators and congressmen and congresswomen that we have in place now. President Trump would not be the president without that. So, it's going to work out, but, this is typical of Washington. You have like three parties here. You have the Democrats that always seem to be aligned despite their differences, and then you have the Republican Party, moderate Republican Party conservative, and unfortunately that sometimes the Republicans are their own worst enemy.
They are. The Democrats don't have much of a moderate wing. You've got Joe Manchin and one other person, and that's about it. But with the Republicans, it's a different story. So regardless of the health care battle and how it turns out, how far will the Freedom Caucus bend? And I guess the other question is, how far do you think Trump's going to bend when it comes to issues like this, especially when we get into the social issues? Where do you think a line's going to be drawn, or do you think there'll be a coalescing of the Republican Party?
Eric, it's really tough. You look at history to kind of get a better idea of the future. I think that, the Republicans understand we have a unique opportunity. We, in a sense, blew it during our 8 years with Bush. And we've been given another opportunity, so let's don't mess it up this time. So I think that, the conservative 33, 34 members of the Freedom Caucus are very, very committed to conservative and many times Christian principles, so I think they're going to stand strong. It's hard to speculate at this point, but the Democrats and the media are very good at creating turmoil amongst the conservatives and the moderates, and I think we have to be careful going forward with that to speculate at this point, but I'm hopeful and prayerful that they will make some solid decisions. And on the social issues, we kind of discussed that in the first part of the program. There's other challenges within the Trump administration because his son-in-law and daughter, but there is also hope that some positive things will come. We have 10 members of Trump's cabinet that are evangelicals. This is unprecedented. And I think a lot of reasons to be optimistic, but at the same time, this is Washington, and there's landmines everywhere.
Yeah. If you'd like to know more about Bill Koenig and his ministry outreach, look him up at watch.org, W-A-T-C-H, watch.org. You can sign up for his weekly e-newsletter, Koenig's Eye View from the White House, strictly e-newsletter by subscription. And you can look up a couple of his books as well. We've featured them on air several times, carried them at one time. We're not carrying them at the moment, but Watch.org is the place for news, views, and truths, just as this program is. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. Eric Barger is my co-host today, talking to Bill Koenig. Bill, I want to just take a detour before we hit some of the, well, as you said to me the other day, the final day scenarios are happening so fast. I want to talk to you a little bit about Donald Trump, the new administration, and Israel, because you said to me, and this is a startling statement, you said to me that Donald Trump represents the most pro-Israel president ever in the history of the nation of Israel. That is a very significant statement you made.
Yeah, this is a very serious. When you look at who he's selecting to represent him, David Friedman, his longtime attorney, has been selected and approved as the ambassador to Israel. He speaks fluent Hebrew. His father was a rabbi. He has committed a lot of money to the settlement communities in terms of yeshivas in Samaria and other things. You know, throughout the years, he's raised a lot of money for that. Jason Greenblatt, his international peace moderator, who will be working in Israel, the Middle East, and other parts of the world, also speaks fluent Hebrew and has also had a fantastic trip to Israel a few weeks ago. It's interesting. New York Times said, oh, you know, this shows how serious Trump is. He's sending his real estate attorney over to Israel to start talking peace. Well, Greenblatt won over everybody, including the leftists in the media over there, the leftist politician. He met with everybody. He met with the Palestinians. He met with the settlers. He met with the imams. He met with the rabbis, different church-affiliated groups. You know, he met with Abbas a couple times, Netanyahu. He met with the defense minister. It was a remarkably effective four-day trip, and he even went over to the Arab League meeting a couple weeks ago as an observer. So he's showing that Trump is serious about Israel living in peace and security, and that they are willing to go forward in the peace process. And we know there's no solution right now. We know that Abbas and Netanyahu will not agree to something. But what has happened in the past, whether it was Arafat or Abbas who received 95-98% of what they wanted, they always came back, the international community, and blamed Israel. Well, they're going to push forward, possibly have a peace conference later in the summer or in the fall. And I believe that Abbas will not accept it again. And this time, I believe the Trump administration will say the problem is the Palestinians because almost everything they wanted has been offered, but they continue to turn it down. With all that said, Jan, you know, I think Trump, as well as many Jewish people, as well as many Jewish people who live in Israel, would like to see Israel live in peace and security. But is that possible? Well, the Bible has other specifics about the final day. So I think they're going to do everything they can to do it right. And if it fails, it fails. But this time Israel won't get the blame.
Well, I think 2017 is going to be a very significant year. And I know you do too, Bill. I mean, we've got from 1897 to the present, 1897, Theodore Herzl began talking about an independent Jewish state 120 years ago, 1917, the Balfour Declaration, which made it possible, the beginning stages anyway, 100 years ago. Jerusalem reunited in 1967, 50 years ago. And we could go on with some other numerical illustrations that are rather stunning, but the audience gets a little bit dizzy when we do that without visuals to enhance that. But I do think 2017 is going to be extremely significant this year.
Yeah, it is. It's also, you know, it's the 50th anniversary, as you mentioned, Jan. That's very significant. Next year is the 70th anniversary of Israel becoming a state. And also, this is the year 5777 on the Jewish calendar, which has got a lot of people's attention as well. And another little interesting tidbit is the day after Trump was inaugurated, it was the 70th year, 7th month, and 7th day of his life. And like you said, it can be dizzying, but there's a bunch of numbers. There's a lot of numbers, a lot of patterns. Everything pointing to a very significant 2017, the year 5777, and also leading into 2018. We're just in an unprecedented time. Plus, I think, and I'm sure you'll get to this shortly, it's just the significance of what's taking place in the United States, Russia, Iran, and North Korea. There are a lot of things that are very serious that are aligning.
And before we go there, I want to play one more clip. It's very short. It's Nikki Haley, and I think this sums up the new relationship of the United States and Israel. And Bill and Eric, the contrast what you're going to hear now versus a Samantha Power in the United Nations just a year or two or five ago is so stunning. I think this little short clip says it all.
So the first thing I want to do is talk about what we just saw in there. The Security Council just finished its regular monthly meeting on Middle East issues. It's the first meeting like that I've attended, and I have to say it was a bit strange. The Security Council is supposed to discuss how to maintain international peace and security. But at our meeting on the Middle East, the discussion was not about Hezbollah's illegal buildup of rockets in Lebanon. It was not about the money and weapons Iran provides to terrorists. It was not about how we defeat ISIS. It was not about how we hold Bashar al-Assad accountable for the slaughter of hundreds and thousands of civilians. No, instead the meeting focused on criticizing Israel, the one true democracy in the Middle East. I am new around here, but I understand that's how the Council has operated month after month for decades. I'm here to say the United States will not turn a blind eye to this anymore. I am here to underscore the ironclad support of the United States for Israel. I'm here to emphasize the United States is determined to stand up to the UN's anti-Israel bias. We will never repeat the terrible mistake of Resolution 2334 and allow one-sided Security Council resolutions to condemn Israel. Instead, we will push for action on the real threats we face in the Middle East. We stand for peace. We support a solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict that is negotiated directly between the two parties, as President Trump reiterated in his meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu yesterday. The outrageously biased resolutions from the Security Council and the General Assembly only make peace harder to attain by discouraging one of the parties from going to the negotiating table. Incredibly, the UN Department of Political Affairs has an entire division devoted to Palestinian affairs. Imagine that. There is no division devoted to illegal missile launches from North Korea. There is no division devoted to the world's number one state sponsor of terror, Iran. The prejudiced approach to Israeli-Palestinian issues does the peace process no favors, and it bears no relationship to the reality of the world around us. The double standards are breathtaking. Just a few days ago, the United States sought, unsuccessfully, to have the Security Council condemn a terrorist attack to Israel, where the terrorists opened fire on people waiting for a bus and then stabbed others. The Security Council would not hesitate to condemn an attack like that in any other country, but not for Israel. The statement was blocked, and that's downright shameful. Israel exists in a region where others call for its complete destruction, and in a world where anti-Semitism is on the rise. These are threats that we should discuss at the United Nations as we continue working toward a comprehensive agreement that would end the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. But outside of the UN, there is some good news. Israel's place in the world is changing. Israel is building up new diplomatic relationships. More and more countries recognize how much Israel contributes to the world. They are recognizing that Israel is a beacon of stability in a troubled region, and that Israel is at the forefront of innovation, entrepreneurship, and technological discovery. It is the UN's anti-Israel bias that is long overdue for change. The United States will not hesitate to speak out against these biases in defense of our friend and ally, Israel. I will say that I think we saw maybe a slightly different tone in the meeting, but we will have to see how it goes forward.
Bill Koenig, that's one of the more stunning sound bites I've played in the history of recording here.
Absolutely. Nikki Haley is an incredible, staunch supporter of Israel. This is another example of the Trump administration's great support of the state of Israel. I mean, Jan, you just can't state it any better than what Nikki Haley has stated. And this is really telling the folks at the UN the days of Israel bashing are over. Mm-hmm. The fact that 2/3 to 3/4 of the UN resolutions pertaining to a chastisement of Israel is over. And this is just remarkable. And also, she has been very specific. Recently, right after the United States sent 58, 59 cruise missiles into Syria, they wanted to have a private National Security Council meeting. And Nikki Haley said, no, we need the international community. We need everybody to hear what is going to be said about the situation in Syria. And also, she is holding Assad fully accountable for the hundreds of thousands of deaths that have happened in Syria during their civil war. She's remarkable. And again, you know, she wasn't favorable towards Trump during the campaign, but we got to give Donald Trump a lot of credit for selecting her as the UN ambassador. I can't imagine a better person for this time than her.
She says the double standard is breathtaking. Well, you know, the three of us have been saying things like that on air here for years and years and years. Double standard. Do you think she'll be able to truly make a difference?
Yes. You know, Nikki Haley has got guts, and she is not going to back down. She speaks her mind. The great thing about it, it's very coherent. And it's very well communicated, and it's very logical, and it's very practical, and it's pragmatic, and also bold. And I think a lot of us are in total shock, but greatly blessed and excited about her being the UN ambassador for the United States, and that she'll keep this up. And I know from being at AIPAC and watching the amazing ovation that she received from the 18,000 Jewish activists and lobbyists that were in Washington, D.C. a few weeks ago. They are extremely appreciative of Nikki Haley.
Well, I do want to head into foreign policy here in our closing segment, perhaps apart from Israel here, because we've got, as you have said in your writings and some of your newsletters, Bill, we've got final day activity that's lining up so rapidly, almost on a daily basis. Sometimes you get up in the morning and turn or news on or look it up online. And another major story has broken that's sort of fulfilling what the Bible foretold so many years ago. We'll talk about some of those things in our closing segment. Eric Barger is in studio with me with Bill Koenig on the line from just outside of Washington, D.C. Look up Bill's outreach that he has online at watch.org. Find his books there, including Eye to Eye, Facing the Consequences of Dividing Israel, and his newer book on the Obama legacy. Back in just a couple of minutes.
Thanks to all of you who faithfully listen to Understanding the Times by radio or on the World Wide Web. Your faithful prayers are also very important to us. We cannot do this ministry without God's help, His provision, and His protection. All three of these are tested throughout the year. We continue to survive by the prayers of people like you. If we haven't thanked you in a while, we want to say thanks now. Keep praying for us. We promise to keep delivering the kind of programs you're enjoying today. We invite you to help support this broadcast. Send your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. Order an audio recording of today's broadcast at 763-559-4444. For information on our fall conference or to find out more about this ministry, log on to olivetreeviews.org. Jan, Eric, and Bill will return in just a moment.
I have often called Understanding the Times radio, radio for the remnant. Around the world, people have had enough of fake news, slanted news, and evidence that good people are marginalized and unappreciated. That is why this program focuses on the truth and the ultimate good news. If you would like to keep it coming to your neighborhood, please consider a tax-deductible gift to Olive Tree Ministries. Give online at olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. You can call us business hours, Central Time, 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444, or just drop us a note. If you can't financially support, let us know we make a difference in your life. Write to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. Help us look at today, but with another eye on tomorrow and the ultimate hope that awaits us.
Iran has conducted cyber attacks against the United States and our Gulf partners. Iran has been behind terrorist attacks throughout the rest of the world. Whether it be assassination attempts, support of weapons of mass destruction, deploying destabilizing militias, Iran spends its treasure and time disrupting peace. Iran continues to have one of the world's worst human rights records. Political opponents are regularly jailed or executed. The Trump administration has no intention of passing the buck to a future administration on Iran. The evidence is clear. Iran's provocative actions threaten the United States, the region, and the world.
Now, let's wrap up our discussion with Bill Koenig on today's Understanding the Times. Once again, Jan Markell.
And welcome back. And you can follow us on Facebook at Jan Markell's Olive Tree Ministries. Please sign up for my newsletters, print newsletter, e-newsletter. Sign up online or give us a call. And once again, programming is posted to my website every Saturday. We hear from so many who say, well, we're not sure how to listen. Got a computer. You can listen anytime, all the time at olivetreeviews.org. Bill Koenig's contactwatch.org. Bill, I had teased in a couple of segments that we want to talk a little bit how final day scenarios are developing. Alignment in the Middle East is stunning. Obviously, we've got Syria playing a major role today. Isaiah talks about that. Isaiah 17, she will play a major role in the future. Iran, Russia, Turkey, Iran nuclear deal. And we've got a short segment, but talk to us a little bit here about this aligning of the nations and where you think that might be going.
You know, Janet, really accelerated when this gassing took place in Syria, and the Trump administration, with their brilliant leaders, McMattis, McMaster, and then also Pompeo over CIA, and others that are inputting here, said that enough is enough. And within 72 hours, they sent in 59 cruise missiles. They hit 58 of their targets, just pinpoint hitting of 58 targets. And this was big. I mean, it shocked Russia. They couldn't believe it happened. Iran couldn't believe it happened. Our adversaries in Syria and those other two nations that I mentioned just could not believe that the Trump administration did this and that Donald Trump decided to go ahead and go forward with this. And then the fact that Tillerson, Secretary of State Tillerson, was on the way over to NATO the following week and then after that went on to Russia. And I think the Tillerson selection was great because here's somebody that has a 20-year history with dealing with Vladimir Putin. He's a very straightforward guy. He's got great people skills. He knows Putin, and he can sit down with Lavrov, the Russian foreign minister, or Putin, and just be as direct and straightforward and as honest as possible and say, who are you going to side with, Russia? Are you going to continue to side with Assad and keep propping him up? Are you going to continue to side with Iran and keep doing what you're doing in the Middle East? Or do you want to come alongside us, the United States, our Sunni allies, and the State of Israel? So this is very key. And you look at Ezekiel 38 and 39, mm-hmm. Jan, that's a key scripture of the Gog-Magog coalition of nations, Russia, Turkey, Iran, Sudan, Libya, and former Soviet Union countries in the mm-hmm. Caucasian Mountains. That alignment is coming together quickly. You also can look at Jeremiah 49, 35 through 39, and it speaks of Elam, which is the modern-day Iran, Persia, Iran, and that they will have a devastation. Even Dr. Wolbert at Dallas Seminary said that that scripture had never been fulfilled. So Iran is going to be dealt with. We're not sure how that's going to happen. The Trump administration, General Mattis, says we're going to keep the deal that's in place, but we're going to hold them fully accountable for their actions. And then with side deals, the ballistic missile testing, et cetera, et cetera. So things are posturing. And then with Turkey, they would like to see Assad leave, and President Erdogan has just been given incredible future responsibility and is almost moving him towards dictatorial role. And then you look at Isaiah 17:1, it talks about the day that Damascus does not exist as a city. So one last note here, President Trump has gotten along with the Egyptian President Sisi very, very well. Great rapport there. He has great rapport with King Abdullah from Jordan. The Sunni countries appreciate him operating from strength. They appreciate the leaders that are his security defense team. So the whole dynamics of Israel, the Middle East, and final day prophecies is changing because of this new administration we have here in Washington.
You really like the fact that the generals are in control. I mean, Susan Rice isn't in control, but Donald Trump has his generals in control, and they've been in battle, and they know the enemy, and this is a new day as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, exactly. My book reveals revealed Obama's legacy, I went into a lot of specifics about the fact that the Pentagon was marginalized. Also, the defense secretary was going to have to go through the national security advisor, which was Susan Rice, and Susan Rice would pass things on to Obama, or the defense secretary would have to tell Susan Rice and explain what they wanted to do in Syria and basically get the go-ahead from the national security advisor staff rather than going directly to the president. And the fact that the morale preparation, eliminating of don't ask, don't tell, emasculated the military to the extent it was in shambles and in rough shape. I mean, we still have a very strong, powerful military, but it was distinctively changed during Obama's 8 years. But with there is a new sheriff in town, there is a new leadership at the White House, the Pentagon, these people are very pragmatic for the most part. They understand the Middle East. They understand the threat. They know this is a battle between good and evil, and they are allowed to make decisions in the field that are crucial and strategic for our particular benefit for the United States as well as U.S. allies within the Middle East.
I think that people should be ready for more military action and also understand that whenever we take the kind of action we took in Syria with the Tomahawk missiles, that threatens the New World Order crowd something fierce. They can't imagine. So you're going to hear from the mouths of the media, almost like being a conscientious objector. That's the way they think we ought to act in the world. But Trump is making these decisions, and I think there's more coming. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. And I think the other thing too, Eric, which is interesting, is people here in Washington have developed a certain mindset that certain things happen a certain way and you can expect certain results. Same thing with Congress. You've done something a certain way for many, many years and you expect a certain results. And there are a lot of pragmatic people, whether it's the flyover states in the Midwest or the middle part of our country, or it's many Americans across the country, are fully aware and fully understand the significance of our problems, domestic or international. And I think that's what you have right now. You have pragmatic people at the White House, at defense, at the State Department, that have been in the real world, that have a lot of experience. They can look at a situation, evaluate it quickly, and see it for what it is. And that's the thing that's discomforting to the radicals, the One World Order people, the leftist media, that they have their own concepts how they operate. Mm-hmm. But when you have pragmatic, practical, and realistic people coming in and making decisions, it's a whole new day. And I think that's what's necessary in the Middle East, especially right now with the movement of Russia and Iran into greater strategic roles in the Middle East, that they had to be confronted and something had to happen. And that's what's happened here recently.
Bill Koenig, we have in just a couple of days Mahmoud Abbas coming to Washington. And, of course, that's never good. We get the Palestinian Authority in town, and that's never going to lead to any kind of good decisions. I hope that kind of that rule is going to be broken here. And you said to me the other day that whatever happens with Abbas and Donald Trump could even be a run-up to the Daniel 9/27 covenant. But explain what you meant by that.
Well, what's interesting, Janice, right now is that the administration is doing two things. One is developing a coalition of nations in the Middle East to deal with the threats, Russia and Iran. That includes the U.S., Israel, and their newfound relationships with other nations like the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Jordan that are fearful of a nuclear Iran and are fearful of a much stronger Iran. So that's a defense coalition that's been developing. And the second thing is, okay, we've got a problem here in Israel with the Palestinians, and most Arab countries don't really care that much about it. They have other issues that they're concerned about, their own domestic issues. But they're going to say, okay, we've heard peace, peace, peace since the Six-Day War of 67. Mm-hmm. Let's give it a shot, and we're going to try to normalize relations, for lack of a better word, between Israel and these other Sunni Arab nations that are cooperating quietly with Israel right now because of this major Iranian threat. So in this concept, let's try to make a peace deal, fully understanding the Palestinians are a mess. You got Abbas in his 13th year of a four-year term.
Right.
You have Fatah and Hamas that are controlling the Palestinians. I mean, who do you make peace with? But the bottom line, Jan, is I think two parts. One, it's a defense agreement. And number two, we're going to give peace a chance. And number three, we don't expect it to happen. And if it doesn't happen, then more than likely the Palestinians will get the blame for it this time instead of Israel.
Well, that's the interesting twist here. This time the Palestinians are going to get the blame. blame for it. Why do you say that, for one thing?
Well, because when you look at the history, Arafat in 2000 received 95 to 98% of what he wanted, but he didn't get sovereignty over the holy sites in Jerusalem, so he didn't take the deal. Abbas received a generous offer from Olmert in 2007 and 8 and never said no or yes to this generous offer, including sovereignty, I understand, over the holy sites. And then again, in 2016, John Kerry thought he had a deal with Abbas, and all it needed was him to approve it, and he never came through and approved it again. So three great opportunities that the Palestinians have had, they said no to all three. Or didn't respond in the third time. So I think it'll probably come down to that again. I think these Trump team members, Greenblatt and others, are going to put this on the table again and demilitarize the Palestinian state. I don't think they'll ever accept that. And acknowledging Israel's right as a Jewish state, they probably won't go there either. But this time, because of this, because of the history here and the pattern of not accepting a deal, this time the Palestinians are going to be counted on the ones that did not accept a generous offer.
Okay, well, that will be indeed quite a twist. Again, folks, you can keep up on issues like this, both at my website, olivetreeviews.org, but Bill's covers of insight from the Middle East every day of the week, watch.org. Sign up for his e-newsletter, which covers same, at watch.org. There's a slight subscription cost to that. I need to go out of the program saying this, because we've talked about government today, and frankly, I'm waiting for perfect government, a global kingdom, not run by world elite rulers, but by the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:7, there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. In other words, his government and peace will keep expanding and improving. Until then, we have human government and we make the best of it until Jesus Christ sits in Jerusalem on his throne in the millennial kingdom. And that's going to happen, folks, sooner than later. We'll talk to you next week, and thank you for listening.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. We continue to reach the world by reporting current events from a biblical perspective, costing us thousands of dollars. This listener-supported program is delivered each weekend nationwide and into your home. You can help us produce and distribute this broadcast. We invite you to partner with this ministry. With our ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to be aware of current events as reported and discussed through the lens of Scripture. With the blessed hope in view, each week Jan Markell brings you compelling guest interviews to highlight the dangers in today's world. To become a broadcast partner, please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. You can also help underwrite this program safely and securely at olivetreeviews.org. Or when you phone 763-559-4444. We're looking forward to hearing from you this week. And please continue to pray for the Olive Tree Ministries team for daily global updates with a biblical worldview 24 hours a day. Log on to olivetreeviews.org. Next week, Jan returns with another program designed to help you understand the times.